This is Return to Sender. I'm Lonnie Ray, author and editor of the Rattled Awake, editor-in-chief of the Rattled Awake series. Let's jump right into this one. When I was in my 50s, I had Thanksgiving dinner with Maurice, my ex-stepfather, his fourth wife, her sons, and my twin brothers. I'd not been there in over a decade and was not close to any of them except for my brothers. It was strange how being around family can cause us to fall back into old patterns, isn't it? Looking back, I wish I hadn't. I wish I'd responded differently. Regret sucks. Here's what happened. In our family photo, Maurice's hand was caught in midair. He had just leaned over and, as he grabbed my ass, whispered in my ear, "See, I'm still a dirty old man." I smiled for the camera and gritted my teeth. He was still a dirty old man, right into his 80s. My mind raced with all the things I could say to back up a swift kick response, whether it was physical or verbal. It probably wouldn't have surprised anyone, but I retreated into an old pattern of taking abuse on the chin and caring more for others than myself. I was raised that way, so what overtook me was concern for the whole. It was Thanksgiving. Pass the peas, pedo, would not have gone well. This was not the place to confront him for the first time for molesting me when I was a young girl. That it was done while my mother was in the hospital with double pneumonia was especially dirty. Strangely, my mother never checked him on his flasher-style behavior for years after. What a pair. My behavior changed, as it would when a child is introduced to adult things. I recall being inappropriate with my twin brothers once. Thanks to Maurice, I thought that's what families did to each other. But there is nothing normal about a sexually aggressive third grader. For decades, an invisible monkey rode my back. I stomped through life. Unexplained rage and depression felt like cement shoes on a once buoyant spirit. The memory of what he did had been suppressed well into my 30s, even though a therapist suggested it a decade prior. I never went back to that therapist. It was too much to take on at the time. She might have explained why I thought my only value was being useful to grown-ups. In later years, used was a better word. Early childhood conditioning can have that effect. But is it like those invisible cement shoes set in stone? Whom do we ask for help? Does going to the source of our angst solve, resolve, or dissolve our issues? Sadly, no. Untying the Knots, my chapter in Rattled Awake, Volume 4, is a breezy walk through the lies and liars that were my family's hallmark traits. After decades of trying to understand what happened and why, I've learned three things. One, you cannot ask a liar for the truth. Two, delete the need to understand. And three, what is what shows up. What you make of it is up to you. 2 years ago, Maurice was in a bad car accident, so his name came up more often in conversations with my brother. I'd never really cared to confront Mo, especially being so old and jacked up, you know. And there I was, again, taking care of other people's feelings. Ah! Truth be told, though, why bother the old fucker? You might as well spit in the wind and hope you got heard before the hearing aids were turned off. Even so, out of the blue, it became important to be heard, to call him out for what he was and what he did before it was too late. But how? One girlfriend suggested I have someone spray paint pedophile on his house. She was at least as mad as I was for what this pervert had done to a child, then gloat over it 45 years later in yet another sexual assault. I was mad too, kicking myself years later for not kicking him where it hurt. Not that I would. I just talk tough. But she was adamant. You should let people know there's a sexual predator in their neighborhood. My idea was sending large envelopes to his house with the word pedophile written all over them. At least the mailman would know. But what if it launched a whole bunch of crap I didn't see coming? The last thing I wanted was further entanglement with that SOB. I just wanted to be heard. I mulled over it for months and did nothing, hoping that nagging feeling to speak up would be quiet. Yeah, right. So about a year ago, I finally decided to do it. Just one page, not angry, and clear as a bell. Easy, right? Staring at the blank page, I really grappled with what to say. Narcissists never own their part. What good would questioning him do? Was he really to blame for my choices in life? Does impropriety at a young age set the course for our lives? Was he to blame, for instance, for my choice to become a dancer? Quote-unquote love broker was how I saw myself during those years I worked as an adult entertainer. I saw every man who came to the door, well, most of them, as someone in search of attention, in need of some companionship like every other human being. For those who have never walked through the doors of a strip club, I can tell you this much. Bouncers enforced boundaries, and it was safer than most dates. And the day shift offered free lunch, a cheeseburger, happy meal, and I was the shake. I took a lot of crap from people at parties, though. If I shared my day job, inevitably the conversation went south. From slant-eyed looks to unfounded accusations, my honesty opened the door for a public thrashing. I learned to keep my mouth shut. What they didn't know was why it was the best job ever, because I blossomed as a person on every level. I finally stopped hiding in oversized men's clothes and got girly for the first time in my life. It was fun, it was free, creative, and hard as hell. There are far more no's than yeses, and every one of them stings. I stuck with it and learned about S&M, that's sales and marketing, attitude, resilience, manifesting, role-playing, and being true to myself. I learned to budget money and manage my psyche. Since we made our own schedules, it gave me time off to do a lot of therapy and much-needed healing. One day at a time, 5 months would pass by before it was time to haul out the sparkly platform shoes and make bank as the new girl again. So there I was, wondering what to say to my ex-stepfather, father figure jerk off. Was what he did to me as a kid the reason behind that career? Looking over the winds, I don't know if it's something to be upset about. Because of that job, I was hired to be a professional radio personality on the world's first uncensored adult talk station on the web. It really should have said the world's first uncensored adult talk radio station on the web. Anyway, KSEXradio.com. You get the point. The Big Dick and Alexis show was on 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. I was the hottie with a body, and he was truly a big dick. His idea of entertainment was doing armpit farts into the microphone. Yeah, he had the humor of a 10-year-old and the intelligence to match. It took a lot of work to fill 2 hours a day with no commercials, no callers, no social media, nothing but a big dick. I was determined to make the show interesting by interviewing adult book authors, filmmakers, porn stars, sex therapists, and sex workers. The highlight was attending the annual Adult Industry Film Awards. Held at the LA Car Museum, this swanky event was the industry equivalent to the Golden Globes. I laid eyes on the infamous Jenna Jameson and got to shake hands with Penthouse's Larry Flint. A stunning redhead was given the Lifetime Achievement Award. She said, "I'm so happy I get to make a living doing something I love so much." She looked like she meant it. I wondered if there would be a best three-way award. What a night. You know, not many of us get to put something like this on their resume. Sadly, the job ended overnight. Those of you in radio know, easy come, easy go. I never understood why we didn't do more with cameras and online marketing. Turned out the station owner was building up KSEXradio.com as a brand name. He sold it for a lot of money to a dial-a-dame service in Los Angeles. Dancing for dollars led to my first professional paid gig on the air. I was hooked on broadcasting. To date, I have produced and hosted 9 shows. My open-mindedness also landed me a telesales job where I sold G-rated photos to adult site webmasters. They needed content, and I needed a job. How was any of this a bad thing? I guess it depends on how you look at it. But for me, it was part of a colorful tapestry of the life of a free spirit, learning about life in the most unusual ways. I always did admire Pippi Longstocking, you know? Should I be upset with him, or should I thank him? What was there to say? Dear Maurice, in spite of you robbing me of innocence as a child and still being a sexual predator, ha-ha, pedo, my life worked out. There was more damage done from his bullying and insults, invisible wounds that took decades to heal, stuff that really damages a psyche, as if he would care. That's not what this letter was for. It was to let him know I know what he did and how effing uncool he still is, for what it's worth, right? Several tries later, one pager in hand, I'm proud to say he didn't get the credit or the blame for my career choices. That he messed up a child's innocence, though, was a really shitty thing to do, and I wanted him to feel bad about it. As if. I sent the certified letter. But a few months later, it came back, unclaimed, returned to sender. It sat on my desk, unopened, for a few days before I threw it out. I was done. Well, why don't you resend that letter? My friend asked, assuming I still had it. Nah, writing it was enough for me. I'm good. I said what I needed to say, whether or not he read the actual words. Writing makes it real. It gets stuff out of our head and onto paper where we can deal with it. The act of writing a very grown-up letter, going to the post office and putting a signature-required step, was all very serious, indicative of my intention to make known how I felt. To finally say something, anything. It was on one single sheet of paper, and it wasn't blaming or angry. It was more like, ha-ha, but not. That was enough for me. You know, sometimes we don't need to mail the letter. What matters is that we write it. Would I have regretted if I didn't try to be heard before he died? Yes, that's why I did it. Even though it appears even a can of Raid can't kill that cockroach. Yes, I could still send a postcard with pedophile alert on it, but I won't. I am better, not bitter. Still, every now and then, I do enjoy a good rant. We need to vent. Let it out to get it out. It's okay to feel mad. You have to go through it to get over it. The trick is not getting stuck in it. Postcards for the pissed off, that's quote unquote, postcards for the pissed off, came out of all this. They were a spinoff from the actual brand libs I mailed after networking events. Measuring 8.5 by 5.5 inches, they were impossible to ignore. Sometimes I left the blanks blank because imaginations run wild with hilarious results. The oversized postcards and custom stamps were memorable. Whenever I placed a follow-up call, they were happy to speak with me again. The front of the card says, "Hi, blank. It was so great to blank you the other day at blank. Your blank is very impressive." In fact, it was blank. And then it says, "You rock." And then there's a funny other side that says, "Next time," and you can check one of the boxes. Next time, you get to pick the location, or you're definitely buying, or I will remember my wallet, I promise. Anyway, when it came to postcards for the pissed off, well, the potential for blasting someone with Mad Libs was endless, and it cracked me up. Laughter is the lifter. In the front of those, one of those says, "Hey, blank. It's about time people knew what a blank you really are. Your behavior is blank, and you ought to be blank. Here's hoping karma bites you in the blank." And on the flip side, it says, "Don't be surprised if your phone seems like it's tapped, a restraining order is placed on you, your exes start calling, black vans follow you everywhere, your social circle gets real, real small, and the custom postage stamp is a turd." I imagined a central mailing depot where postcards could be sent out across the country without being tracked back to the sender. It was fun to entertain the idea, but the last thing I wanted to do was to facilitate people being mean to random people. Someone suggested having a retreat where the mailed postcards, sent to me instead, are gathered and burned in a ceremonial release event. It's a cool idea. In my book, Life Lessons Learned from a Lousy Mother, a 20-minute read, you can adopt a card-making exercise that helped me keep it real, once and for all. It's very freeing. You have to own it before you can let it go. Being acknowledged for how you feel is instrumental in healing. Just bear in mind that acknowledgement rarely comes from the person who hurt you. I used to hear, "You always were a smartass," from Maurice, and I'm like, "Yeah, and you always were an a-hole picking on a little kid." Picture a gold chain wearing Italian stallion, smooth talking hairstylist back in the 70s. The ladies called him Maurizio. He was a hotshot drug dealer whose brother turned him in. That callous, insensitive sexual predator spent 10 years in prison, only to come out and continue to screw over whomever he could, including his kids. It is what it is, and it is what it ain't. We've got to use discernment, stop looking the other way, and cease giving people like this a hall pass to do more damage. Write them off, literally. In the end, writing out a one sheet to air my feelings was for me a return to sender of sorts, reviewing my choices, and the choice not to blame, but rather reclaim my life, was empowering. When you write that letter, know that the person you are writing for is you first. You may never have to send it. So what? Write it anyway. It bugs me when people say, "Oh, all that stuff you've been through is what made you who you are today." Nope. You made you who you are today. If you have managed to remove the cement shoes and climb into that hot air balloon of your dreams, it was not thanks to them. You did that. Take a well-deserved bow, my friend, because not everybody gets back up. Not everybody takes on the task of setting a new course. Better, not bitter. Woohoo! Now the mere thought of calling him out makes me laugh. He's suffering enough, living his final days in a busted-up, double-wide trailer with three smelly dogs and two shady dudes, because nobody else will have him, including his fourth wife. Boo-hoo, poor little pervert. Moving right along. So much has happened over the past 5 years. If you'll zip on over to officialrouteawake.com and check Volume 2 tab, you will see a major issue affecting us all, food safety. In Rattled Awake Volume 5, you'll find another vital issue, personal safety, and preparing to leave in an emergency in under 3 minutes. Please read Peace of Mind, if only so you don't find yourself standing outside, barefoot, wearing pajamas. When would now be the time for you to share your wisdom? Aha, ha-ha, epiphany, and pivot. It is time for everyone to get out of their comfort zones and express their message for the masses. How? It's easy. Become part of a collaboration like Rattled Awake. Why? Because a book gets you on podcasts where the global microphone reaches worldwide. It just makes sense. As Wayne Dyer said, don't die with the music still in you. I hope you'll join me in the next episode of the great adventure that is the Rattled Awake movement. Do you have a regret you feel others can learn from? Then I highly recommend getting in touch with two-time international best-selling co-creator of the Rattled Awake books, illustrator extraordinaire Michelle Lax. Her anthology, No More Regrets, I Just Had to Get This Off My Chest, is the perfect place to help others avoid a regretful mistake you once made or to say what's been unsaid until now. Every day is a clean slate. Do the things you will regret not doing. The end. And here's my bio. Lonnie Ray, editor and publisher of the number one international best-selling Rattled Awake series, is on a mission to elevate the voices and stories of others who carry a message for the masses. Her book, How to Deal with a Dumbass, What to Do and Say When They Come Your Way, is a field guide to potholes and the people who dig them. As the ghost writer for Kicking Karma's Ass, she's proud to hear the book is slated to be a movie. Her podcasts include How to Deal with a Dumbass, A Spiritual Perspective, Midlife My Ass, I'm Just Getting Started, Bold Movers and Shakers, Interviews That Rock the Boat, and her 10th show, Rattled Awake Cafe, currently in production. Seek her out for story development coaching and content strategy before you waste hundreds of hours on your manuscript. You can find her on LinkedIn and on her website, officialrattledawake.com. Now it's officially the end. Thank you for listening. Say it forward.